2014, Robin Williams, Shirley Temple, James Garner, Mickey Rooney, Ariel Sharon, Maria von Trapp, Gilbert Devaux. If Germans are listening in, I might add Udo Jürgens, Joachim Fuchsberger, Maximilian Schell. 2013, Nelson Mandela, Margaret Thatcher, Peter O'Toole, Paul Walker, my mother-in-law, Hermine Sperzel, Ralph and Gertrude Sage. 2012, Neil Armstrong, Mike Wallace, Larry Hagman, Andy Williams, Rodney King, my mother. In 2011, Betty Cagle. In 2010, Louis Bargar. In 2008, Paul Voss. And of course, if you go further back, Edwin Pope, Raymond McNair, Colin Adair, many, many others, including beloved brethren in the UK, as well as my father-in-law. All of these people died. One of our new members in Germany has lost his wife some time ago. He is raising his three young children on his own, age 12, 9, and 6. An acquaintance of ours, a doctor younger than my wife and me, apparently caught pneumonia and died in 2014. Noel and Mike's neighbor, 31, died surprisingly yesterday, leaving behind his wife and two children, ages 8 and 9. We do not know when we will die. Solomon says, "For man also does not know his time, when it falls suddenly upon him." On the other hand, Isaac thought that he would die soon, so he was anxious to bless his firstborn son. But as it turns out, he lived another 20 years, albeit bedridden and blind. Even my father, when he was in his 70s, thought that he would die anytime soon. And he was 95 when he died. So we don't know when we will die, but we know one thing, that we will die. Notice Job chapter 21. Job 21, and I'd like to read beginning in verse 23. One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. Verse 24. His pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist. Another man dies in the bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. Verse 26. They lie down alike in the dust, and worms cover them. And also notice chapter 34 and verse 20. In a moment they die, in the middle of the night. The people are shaken and pass away. The mighty are taken away without a hand. Now James cautions us never to leave God out of the picture. He said that when we are making plans, we must consider the possibility that we might not even be alive next year. Solomon tells us that it's better to go into a house of mourning than to attend wild parties, to take it to heart that the living will die. And Moses asks God to teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. wisdom to understand and to act upon the understanding that it is appointed to man once to die. But after that, the judgment. And so we read that the day of death is better than the day of birth. But that is only true when our day of death is that of a righteous person. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, we read. Now, God refers to Jesus' death as his precious blood. It redeemed us, it set us free, and it's not to be taken lightly. And so God is not taking lightly the death of his people. Sometimes God allows a righteous person to die in order to deliver him from the evil around him. Notice this in Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57, and I'm reading for this 1 and 2. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. And so, yes, death can be a refuge for the righteous. He has hope when he dies. For him, death has lost its sting. If he remains faithful until death, God will give him the crown of life. God calls the righteous blessed when they die in the Lord, to rest from their labors, because their works will follow them. God weighs our works, our actions, our motivations, to see how good they really are. The righteous sleeps the sleep of death to be brought back to eternal life and to his inheritance in and of the kingdom of God when Christ returns. Notice this in Daniel chapter 12. And let's look at verse 13. Daniel 12 and verse 13. But you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. For the righteous who has run his race, who has kept the faith, the day of his death is better than the day of his birth. Because, you see, the successful end is always better than uncertain beginnings. Now, all of those names which I mentioned in the message today, the names of all of those people, and then all the people, they will be brought back to life in their own order, within the next second of their consciousness. You know, I sometimes think, and I'm sure you do too, those of you who have lost loved ones and who hasn't, I sometimes think of my mom. And when I'm sitting in a particular chair, I have to think of the fact that this was my mom's favorite chair every time she visited us. And she made sure that nobody had any access to that chair as long as she was there. Now, when I sit in this chair, I sometimes have soul-searching, sobering thoughts and questions. I sometimes wonder, could I have done more? Could I have done more to prevent her from dying when she did? And I'm sure that some of you have questions like that. Could I have done more in my life, in her life, in the life of the loved one? You know, ultimately, though, what's past is past. And rather than dwelling on the past, we got to look at the future. And I have to remind myself, my mom will live again. Everyone who has died, every loved one, will live again. But I must make sure that I will be there when she is being resurrected. I must make sure that when I die, I will die the death of a righteous person, that I do not give up, that I will die unto the Lord, and that whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Now, that is how I need to look at my life, at my death. And that is how you must look at yours.